So the question that a lot of my interior designers, the folks that I work with, the question that really matters to a lot of designers is, why should they add home staging to their services?
Well, I would think if they have an interest in it and they're wanting to expand what it is that they're doing, it could be a good option, but it also might not be a good option. So I would hope that, you know, with their business model, they really need to figure out who it is that they are. And it could be something that's very, very viable, but it could be something they investigate and say, you know what, I'm really kind of happy where I'm at. I didn't realize it was so much. It's a whole nother business model. It's a sometimes they can work hand in hand together, but what we see is predominantly if somebody is an interior decorator designer and they start staging, or they're staging and they do design work, they tend to kind of gravitate towards one or the other and then have the other service as an added service of something it is that they do. So if they like real estate, they might be really great at it.
What's the potential? So if you're a rock star stager, how far, how high can you go? How successful can you be?
Sky's the limit. Sky is
really?
Literally the limit. Absolutely. We are seeing the industry has matured over the last decade, and we're, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, it was, you would see just solopreneurs, somebody who thinks they've got an eye for design. A lot of our people were empty nesters, or their children had just gone to regular school, elementary school, and they want to do something for themselves, and they get out there and they're doing it and it's just them. And then they add on maybe a second person. And they have a couple team members, but it's primarily just them doing everything. And these days, flash forward 15 years, people are literally, they have moving trucks that they have bought. They are fully wrapped. They have warehouses. They have staff. They have employees. They've got four or five stagers working for them. It's very much matured. And
to the point where you know, can do it by itself. I mean, is it a standalone business? You don't have to do anything else if you're
absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. I know stagers. Now, we want to call them like the top 3% club probably, but there is a higher level of stagers that absolutely are doing that type of business, running a warehouse. They have trucks, employees, and they're making it. And they have employees of, you know, 10, 15 people, 20 people working for them.
When you say making it, what does that mean? I mean,
running the business efficiently. Running the business efficiently. They are up there. They're making it. They're making it happen. They're employing 20 people, so they're doing something well.
Something, yeah, must be doing something right. So what is the easiest way for, say, a designer to get into the home staging business?
Well, I think it's there's probably going to be several ways that somebody could do it, and it's really dependent on where they are in their own business and if they really decide this is something that they want to take on. One, I'd recommend visiting realestatestagingassociation.com, checking out the training providers. The majority of the training providers that are teaching about staging, the primary focus is not on the how to do the actual staging. It's not about the furniture placement, the color, things of that nature, the fabrics. It's more about the business end. And so while an interior decorator designer is going to have the know-how, the design end, they're going to have the creativity side of it, they might not have all the information on the business end. And that's where a great training program would be able to help them get that type of information. And then they decide, what kind of client do they want? Do they want to do an average home in their area? Do they want to do the high-end luxury homes? And then deciding if that's your client, how you're going to go out and get that particular business. And then you just start bidding the jobs, but you've got to figure out your pricing structure. And the training companies can also help you with that as well.
There's an awful lot of stagers out there, Shell, but not a lot of them necessarily are earning top dollar. And that's one of the things that I found interesting. It seems like staging is definitely one of the fastest growing career paths in our industry, but not necessarily, it's one of the most misunderstood, I think. So why is it, do you think, that so many professionals offer staging, but so few are really earning the big bucks?
I don't think it's an industry issue. I think it's a personal satisfaction issue. I would say in the world in general, you've got the Prada principle. You know, you've got 90 or 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. Well,
we all can't have,
nor do we all want to be that big rock star stager employing 20 people. the average person that's getting into it, they're happy having a small business that's paying their bills. They're getting what they want out of it. And they don't see the reason to expand because they don't want to manage a team of people. It's not what they're desiring to do. It's not for a lack of that they couldn't do it if they wanted to. But most of them are very happy in their business models. And you do see them grow to a certain step, and whatever it is that they grow to, they're very happy there.
Do you have to have a big inventory? Do you have to have a lot of employees to be successful?
Absolutely not. There's many different business models within staging. You can choose a route to rent your furniture, purchase your own accessories, and you can choose to buy your own furniture and do your warehouses as well. So it really depends, again, on your business model. If you're a stager that, you know, you're happy if you're, you know, bringing in $75,000 a year and that's happy where you are and you still have a life and, you know, you can have dinners with your families during the week and pick your kids up from school and do what you want to do, then that's where it is that you're going to be.
Are there million-dollar stagers out there, Shel?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Think about if you had to employ 20 people, how much that adds up quick.
Yeah, I guess you would need $1 million to do that. So I got to think that people getting into the business make a lot of mistakes. Can you share some of them, the common mistakes that aspiring home stagers make?
Absolutely. I would say first and foremost is they don't value their own worth. So when they go in and they set their pricing structure, they are very much undervaluing themselves in order to get a job. So they go in on the cheap. And when you go in on the cheap just to get the job, you're not looking at your pricing structure of what does it cost you to do that job. So the mistake that people make is they don't figure that out. They think, well, somebody's not going to pay me that, and so I need to lower my price. Well, if that's what you think, you're right. Because if you go into any job thinking somebody's not going to pay me, they're not going to this, they're not going to that, you're absolutely right. Henry Ford said it best. If you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right.
You're right,
so it's very much, you know, about the attitude that you take about your business as well. So they don't have a right mindset, and then they don't set their pricing correct from the get-go, and they discount their services to get the job, and they will keep lowering their prices when somebody asks just in order to get the job. And two things happen when they do that. One is the client now doesn't value you. They don't view you as a professional because you keep bringing down your pricing. So they think they're going to do that all the time, and you're teaching them that you will lower it every time. And two, you could go out of business because every dollar that you don't take is money out of your pocket. That's your profit dollars. Every time you discount your services, you're discounting your paycheck. And you still have to pay the other bills. You still have to pay your assistant to help you move, a mover to help you move furniture, the gas, the insurance, you know, everything else that goes into your business. So it cuts out of your profits. And you do that enough times over and over, you're not going to be profitable and you'll be out of business.
So what do they say when the realtor, for example, or even the homeowner says, well, boy, that's more than I expected. You're too expensive. What is the right thing for a stager to say in response to that?
Oh, wow, really? What did you expect? You just ask them, and they'll tell you. And then you respond to that. So if somebody came back and said, oh, I was expecting, you know, maybe $500 or $600, and it's like, okay, well, let's talk about some realities. When you get ready to move, if you called in the movers to pack up your house, load it on a truck, drive it on a truck, 2 hours even, just moving into another town, across town, wherever it is, unloading the truck and putting everything back in your house, how much do you think that would cost you? Would that be a $500 job?
Right.
Absolutely not. So when you're looking at staging, stagers are doing that. Plus, they've got the design aspect into it. Plus, it's the psychology of what they're doing. It's the colors that they use, the furniture that they use to accent the architecture in the home. There's a whole science that goes in behind it of, you know, why buyers buy. And stagers are professionals that are trained to be able to stage your property. And $500 would just be simply not realistic. We could do a consultation. If you lived in your home and it was your own furniture, $500 would cover a consultation. And we would tell you all the things you needed to do in order to stage the property yourself. And then you would do all the work. So it's just
and
really
then you
about
can,
educating them.
And you can point out that you're going to, I'm going to help you sell your home faster and for more money, right? I mean, isn't that the whole idea
behind
staging?
Absolutely. It's merchandising your number one asset, and that's your property. Most people's portfolios of their assets, the average person has a home, and people will spend more money on, you know, getting their car fixed up, you know, to sell it to somebody down the block than they will to do their home. So it's kind of one of those concepts. You just really have to educate them and show them the statistics, show them your own portfolio, show them your personal statistics, also the national statistics that we release on a semi-annual basis, and just educate them. And once you do that, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's really about merchandising, you know. It's like to explain them with analogies of something that they would understand. So I talk a lot about the generic products. I remember back in the 70s, my mom would take me to the store, and she'd buy these generic paper towels, and they were the yellow label with the black print. And I remember being horrified when I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, thinking, oh, why were you buying generics? Because everybody was into the brand names.
Yeah, Mr. Whipple.
And exactly. And so with that being said, Eve, if you go into a store now, the generic brands have changed. If you look at them, you're not seeing those yellow cans with the black beer across it. You're seeing a much more upscale generic look that makes it look like a brand name. S&W is a great example of a brand that's in, you know, a local Safeway, and that's of a generic version. But it looks like it's a beautifully well-designed can.
Are there statistics that you've heard about how much faster properties do sell when they're staged, or how much more money a homeowner can make when the home is staged? Have you seen any stats on that?
Well, Real Estate Staging Association, we do have stats on that. And on my internet, I just went on to pull them up. Oh, here we are. I'm going to be able to tell you exactly what they are. So what we do is we study homes. We ask our members to report back information to us about the homes that they stage. So we recently did a study of 1,081 homes that were not staged. And those homes spent an average 184 days on the market before those homeowners said, you know what, we give up, it's not selling, we're going to call in a stager. They took those homes off the market, called in a stager, and those homes were now staged and relisted, and now they sold in 41 days. However, with that being said, that's because they were already on the market previously.
Yes, right.
We also studied homes that were put on staged first prior to going on the market, and those homes sell in 23 days. So when you do the math, you take the 184 days that it was on the market unstaged, then another 41 days that it's on the market, this, you know, when you're listing it for the second time, that's 225 days compared to 23. That's 90% less time on the market.
That's pretty dramatic.
It is.
So stage homes are on the market or sell 90% faster. Is that what you're
exactly
saying?
They spend 90% less time on the market.
Wow. And not a lot of people realize that, right? I mean, that's not a well-known statistic, I would imagine.
I think we've been releasing these stats, and they've ranged everywhere between 78 to 90% over the last 10 years that we've been tracking it. So it doesn't, it's not really varying so much. I mean, it's going to go from year to year, and it depends on the different market conditions. And at the 78%, it was more when the market had been correcting itself, as we like to call it, not crashing, it was correcting itself. It's just a great marketing tool. I mean, it's just a proven method to get that property sold, and reduces your time on the market. It limits your carrying costs. In the same study that we did, we have a home staging savings calculator. And if you take that extra 8 months that were on the market times your direct expenses of carrying that property, so let's say your mortgage was $2,400, and let's just use a round number of $1,000 that you had other direct expenses, your gas, electric, things like that. Let's just say it's $3,400 in carrying cost for your property for 1 month. If you times that by 8 months,
right,
that you're going to spend on the market if you don't stage, on average, if you followed suit with our study, that's $27,200 in expenses.
Jeez.
However, if you stage it first and it sold within the 30 days, which our stats show it's about 23 days right now, you reduce that down, you've saved $23,800 in your carrying expenses.
So in other
because
words,
you're sold in 1 month.
You're not just making money in this deal, you're saving money by getting it off the market. Wow.
Absolutely.
So someone hears what you're saying, gets very excited about it. It certainly sounds good. I guess the one thought that comes to mind is how much competition is out there? If a designer wants to add this to his or her mix, are there going to be a lot of other stagers typically in the area or not?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are populations of the United States that have a more concentration of stagers than others. However, I will tell you, talking about competition, it's one of my favorite topics. It really doesn't matter when it comes down to it. So there's plenty of business for everybody. You are going to have certain pockets that might have a higher concentration, but even that, the stager to agent ratio is very huge. So there's always going to be more agents than there are stagers, and there's always going to be agents out there that have not.
Another real estate agents you're talking about, right? Come on, real estate.
Right, you should be more concerned about the real estate agents in your area than a competitor.
So speaking of real estate agents, don't a lot of realtors either feel like they offer it themselves, and they feel like they don't need an outsider to provide these staging services?
You know, that's another great question. They do think that, and they're wrong. Most of them are wrong.
They are wrong.
They are wrong. What we find is much of the time when you look on the MLS, you can tell what an agent staging looks like, and I'll set the scene for you. So a stager, if you're going to stage a living room, you're going to have probably maybe two sofas creating a nice seating area with a table in between, maybe an accent chair, the fireplace is a focal point and have all your artwork, and the hardwood floor is a rug to ground it. An agent staging tends to look like a wing back chair with a throw a book and a ficus tree from Michael next to it, sat next to the fireplace. So agents, it's when they don't understand the value of staging and they don't understand really the visual appeal of it and how to make it happen. They're very different skill sets. So that's kind of what the differences are. But if they can get in with a regular stager and they show, no, we're going to do the whole house. This is what it's supposed to look like. Staging is not about setting up a tiny little vignette in a corner and now everybody can magically appear what the rest of the house looks like. It doesn't work that way.
So a lot of realtors do believe that they want to work with stagers. How do stagers reach out to realtors? How do they market themselves most successfully to realtors, do you think?
There's many ways. Number one, you need a really great website with an amazing portfolio. And not only do you have to have a great website, but now it needs to be found on Google, which means you have to have a good SEO plan, search engine optimization. You've got to have that because people are going to look for you on their own. Homeowners are going to look for you on your own, and you need to be able to come up in Google organically and in the Google Maps when somebody searches for you. Then number two, stagers would be able to get into real estate offices. A lot of them will go in and do an office presentation. You can go to open houses. You can go on caravan tours. I recommend that you join the local Women's Council of Realtors, the local Association of Realtors as an affiliate, and you go to their meetings. Because if you want to get business from agents, you need to party where they party. And you're not going to do it if you're just sitting behind your desk sending people emails. It's not effective. You've got to actually infiltrate their market. And the other great thing that stagers have now is they do have RESA chapters, and RESA chapters are actually joining local associations as chapters and bridging that gap and showing local agents that there's a strong network of professional real estate stagers locally.
What percentage of real estate companies offer or hire stagers? Do you have any idea? I mean, less than half, more than half, or what do you think?
There'd be no way to know that. I don't know of anybody that's collecting that type of statistical data. I would say that it's a smaller percentage of homes that are actually staged. I only just know this anecdotally, just from, you know, the vibe and, you know, the conversations that we have within the industry of what the temperature is. There's a lot more homes need to be staged. Even if you look on the MLS in any given neighborhood, you can tell what's staged and what's not.
Now, stagers can supplement their services, right, Shell? I mean, they don't just have to offer staging. There's other services they can offer as well.
They do. Stagers have now gotten into color consultations, choosing paint colors, a lot of them can do holiday decorating. A lot of them do redesign work where they'll just come in and use primarily what the homeowner has to maybe just give a room a new look. Some of them have much more education. Some of them are much more sophisticated with the education that can actually do interior design work. But there's lots of things, other things that they can offer to people.
You had mentioned, I think, that there are training, what, academies for designers who want to get into staging. Do you have to have, is there a certification involved, or can anyone basically start their own staging business?
Anyone can start their own staging business. There are no government regulations regulating staging. We're more what I call working towards self-regulating ourselves. So there are certifications. There are many certifications out there. So you can take a training program from one of the RESA accredited training providers or one of our training provider affiliates that we work with. There are also other training providers out there that are not part of the RESA network. And they might not know about us or might not just be the right fit for them, but you don't have to have a certification, but we strongly suggest that you do because it's going to fill in a lot of gaps and help you not make as many mistakes if you were just trying it on your own.
You made some great points earlier, Shel, about fee integrity, this whole idea of resisting pressure to cut your fees. That sounds easier said than done for someone who's just starting out and they're facing questions about fees and trying to justify your fees, especially when you don't have much experience. What do you do in that case?
That comes from confidence. You've got to find your confidence. So the lack of experience, you could have a lack of experience, but you could have a whole world of confidence. You could have a lack of experience and have no confidence. And that when you hit that double whammy, that's kind of when you're in trouble. And most people, if you get with a business coach, if you got with somebody like me, I wouldn't allow you to do it. I just wouldn't. I would say I would just have a coaching session with somebody and I would sell them on the idea that there is no way that they're going to bring down their price. This is, you don't need to bring down that price. You can add in an extra bathroom. You can add in a kid's room if they're wanting something like that. You give them more value. You don't take away from your profit. And if that client doesn't want to do that, this isn't the client for you. Say no when you walk away. Because there's the red flag client. So I would educate somebody on that. And it's really just got to come from within. They've got to be able to have the confidence to stand up for themselves. We do show that most of the time when you stick by your guns, politely stick by your guns and show, reiterate your value, that people do come back to you and say, okay, we're going to do it. Everybody wants a deal. So
yeah.
Everybody wants to feel like they got something. And your client wants to feel that as well, which is why, you know, if you're doing a bid on a house and you're saying, we're just going to do the living room and the kitchen and the master, and this is the investment, and they say, oh, that's too much, I need you to come down. No, we can't come down, but, you know, since we're already there, I can throw in a bedroom. It's going to give it a much more polished look because we are selling all the rooms in the house, so let's throw in another bedroom and we can do that. But I don't bid my projects at a higher rate so I can negotiate them down. I'm giving you the absolute best price for it is for my business model to be able to do the job the way that I'm able to do it. And you leave it at that. He who speaks after that is going to lose. So you just don't
yeah.
say anything and let them come back to you.
Right. I read a statistic once that 90% of sales professionals at some point or another offer to lower their price before they're asked to do so. Is this
right.
pretty common among stagers that they give in before they even need to?
I hear that a lot, actually. It's funny that you even mentioned that because I do a lot of coaching with stagers and they'll call me and say, you know, I went in and it's on their bid even. You know, that here's my price, but I'm giving you a courtesy discount. Why? They didn't ask for that. Why are you going there? Because
it just
makes no sense whatsoever. But they actually list it on their invoices, which is kind of comical to make them feel like they're doing it. I know a lot of people do it with nonprofits already, and it's a marketing ploy. So does it really mean anything? And, you know, how sophisticated is your person to realize that, you know, did you really discount it? Is it just there, you know, to make them feel good when they got the invoice? It bites less. I don't know. I'm not
sure
why they do
it. So you're saying if you can do a good enough job of promoting yourself, of selling yourself and your services and your expertise, there's no need to discount your fees because
no
you
need.
Come across as an expert.
No need to do that. In fact, when you go into it, if you speak, here's the thing about confidence. comes from passion. If you are very passionate about what it is that you do, and I think that when it comes to sales, the number one thing that kills a sales deal, especially in a women primarily based industry, is for whatever reason, they don't feel like they have permission to speak passionately about what it is that they do. So I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very animated. I pull that off for me. Find your own passion and be able to get that out the way that you do it for you. And when you submit something to somebody with some passion and integrity with what you're doing, and you connect with them on a personal level, they're going to want to hire you. They don't hire you just because you have a service that they need. They hire you because they believe in you and they want to work with you. So when you go out and you hit it with all the passion and all the knowledge, they're just like, yeah, sign me up.
So I want to wrap this up, Shel, and ask you, the profile of a really successful stager. I mean, who are these people? Where are these people? How old are they? How experienced are they? What's their background? Did they used to do something else? Can you kind of give us a snapshot of what you have found over the years to be the characteristics of a successful stager?
Absolutely. I would say the most successful stagers that we have are somebody that has a creative background, and it could be in design. They also might have a PR background, a marketing background, a sales background. Those are some really good backgrounds that we see that when I say someone's really making it happen, they tend to come from something of that, of a background. They also will be their age ranges are very much ranging, but a lot of people that are just getting into the business, we actually see people that are empty nesters or on a second career. But we're also seeing a lot of millennials coming in right now, and they're coming in very early and making a little bit of an impact. And some of them, they do a little bit differently. You know, they know a lot about social media. And when we see people getting into it later in life, they might have a great creative side. It's very right brain, left brain. So a lot of times people have one side and not the other. So they kind of struggle. I'm very creative and I can be a great stager, but I can't get anybody to hire me. In my case, it was I could get everybody to hire me, but I don't like doing the staging. It wasn't my passion to actually do the physical staging part of the job. So I got so much business in 3 months. I was like, there was no other creative people around me to bring on to my team to be able to keep a business going. And it was just, I just didn't like doing the actual work. I'm not into the color. I'm not passionate about the furniture placement, but I'm passionate about building the business.
So passion is an element of success in this business.
I believe so. I think it is in any business.
Is there an area of the country where staging seems to be hottest right now, do you find?
Well, the United States for sure. It's definitely started over here, but we are seeing staging in many other countries. We have members in Great Britain, South Africa. We have a lot of stagers that are starting in that area. We have Australia, Canada, obviously, a large concentration of stagers out there. We even have our annual convention that just happened in January. We had stagers coming from Japan. So they're starting out in that area as well. So the Netherlands is also big. They're staging out there as well.
Okay, Shel, so you mentioned your coaching services. Tell us a little bit about how people can work with you. What do you offer them, and how do they sign up?
Well, when I'm working with a stager or somebody wanting to get into the business, I do have a screening process. I can't work with everybody due to my schedule. I only take on limited clients. So what they would do is they would give me a call or contact me through my website, and then I would chat with them on the phone and kind of evaluate the situation, and if it's something that I feel that I can make an impact and it's going to be a positive experience for them and I believe they're going to do the work, then we can work together.
And so tell us your website and tell us your phone number. How do people reach you?
So to reach me, you can go to Shel, S-H-E-L-L, Brodnax, BRODNAX.com. Or my phone number, my cell is 209-623-5809.
Well, I'm sure that anyone interested in staging needs to be interested in talking to you. You really seem to have a good grip on how to make it in this business. And I want to thank you so much for your time today. Again, Shel is the the founding mother of the staging industry. She established RESA, the Real Estate Staging Association. She's a coach, she's an author, and a speaker who goes around speaking not only on staging but on other motivational topics as well. Shel, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Fred. I appreciate it.